to our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessings on the reading and the proclamation of his holy word. As we do that this morning, Scott Grogan, will you lead us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house again, Lord. And just thank you, Lord, for your promises that you did make, Lord. And you keep your promises. Thank you for your son that you sent to this earth, Lord, to die for us, to die for our sins, Lord. Again, just be with this man that you sent to us in the pulpit. Just use him as your vessel this morning, Lord, to bring the word to this congregation. All this we ask in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. May be seated. And so we have gathered today on the 17th day of March, and may I say happy St. Patrick's Day, right? Yeah, only one of you wished me happy. Thanks. Thank you, Tiny, for that. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, so if we were a liturgical church, you would probably say something like, and also with you, right? And so happy, Merry Christmas. Yeah, we're a little more familiar with that one, right? It is St. Patrick's Day, and we have really never done this that I know of at Lion Branch Baptist Church, but what a joyous occasion, what a fun time. And over the past several weeks, I have learned so much about St. Patrick, so much that I thought I knew actually turned out to be false. There are a lot of myths out there about St. Patrick. There are a lot of untruths, but there's a lot that he did. And the more I read about his actual life, the more I read his confessions, the more I read a biography that I picked up about him, the more I realized this is a great man of God. And so, yes, let's remember him, because his life points us to the life of the one who gave it all for us. That is Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of all. Some of those myths are something like this. Someone said, once started a myth that he drove all the snakes out of Ireland. He cast them out into the waters, into the sea, much like Jesus cast the demons out of the man into the swine, and cast them into the Sea of Galilee. Well, it turns out that that is just a fable that was made up over the years, and turns out that Ireland, the island, really never had any snakes. And I'm thinking about moving there now, because we don't want snakes, right? Great place to be. A good tradition came that he had the shamrock, and because of the three leaves, he would often teach of the Holy Trinity, that God is revealed to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, it turns out that too may be a myth that came way later in the 15th, 16th century, several hundreds of years later. We know that that this man, St. Patrick, whose real name, by the way, was Maywin. Maywin lived in the 5th century. He was of Roman descent, lived in Britain. His father was a deacon, his grandfather a priest, and he happened to be living in a small village when a bunch of Irish pirates came in and attacked their city and ransacked the place and took captive young 16-year-old Maywin, took him away to Ireland, and there he became a slave. Incidentally, he was a shepherd, and so he was out taking care of sheep for his lord. And in that place, at 16 years old, he served for 6 years, and he says that over and over again, he began to pray more and more and more. Now, can you imagine being 16 years old and just ripped from your hometown, your home country, and be taken to a foreign land, to a people that you didn't understand their traditions, you did not understand their culture, you didn't understand their language, and so you're ripped away from all that. What are you going to do? Well, this is the great thing that happened in young Maywin's life. He became closer and closer to the Lord. He speaks of the fact that after he came to Ireland, he wrote this. He said, "I watched over sheep, and day by day I began to pray more frequently and more, and my faith in him and more in my reverence for him and more in my love for him began to increase more and more and more. So on the place of the island of Ireland, there he was all alone, but he found someone that he had heard about all of his life was real, was true, and was right there when he needed him the most. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Vacation Bible School is coming up soon, right? And some of you think, why is it that we put so much emphasis on Vacation Bible School when a lot of times the kids that go to Vacation Bible School don't come back to our church, they don't go to church anywhere? I believe that there is going to come a time when they're going to look around and the friends they thought were there were no longer there. There's going to come a time when the family they thought was available is no longer there. But there may come the time when they realize that Jesus Christ the Lord, the one whom the little church down at Lime Branch told them about, truly is real, and he is there and available exactly when you need him. And so the preaching and the teaching of the gospel is so important today, just as it was in the first century, the fifth century, and just as it is today. It is important to preach and teach the truth of God's holy word. Amen. So as this man began to learn more and more about God, God revealed to him, he tells, in a dream that he would soon escape and return back to England. So long story short, he surely does escape, and he finds some men that are traveling back to England. He gets on the boat with them. He gets on the ship. They go back, and a lot of the details are obscure, but somehow he reaches back home, but his heart is not satisfied. His heart's not satisfied because God reveals to him that he has got to return back to Ireland to the very people that took him captive and spend his life preaching and teaching the Word of God. Now, I found this interesting as I'm studying and reading about his life and reading his confessions, because it really reminded me of my very favorite biblical character. And many of you know who that is, but that favorite biblical character of mine is Joseph, right? And it seems as if Joseph has so much in common with Maywin, with St. Patrick. Because Joseph, too, was sold into slavery, correct? Joseph, too, was treated ill. He was persecuted in many ways. But in many ways, he found out that God is real. And God was nearby, and God was close. And so God blessed his life and spoke to him and used him mightily to save an entire race, an entire group of people. I believe that God chose St. Patrick and chose him to save a whole nation for the purpose of spreading the gospel. And I believe today that God has chosen you to save a whole group of people, because there are people that only you can reach. There are people that only you can touch. And God has brought you through for a unique task, for a specific task, to bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ the Lord. So just a couple of things I want to point out about his life. I've already said that he goes back to Ireland. He goes back to the place. He goes back to the place where he was hurt the most. Isn't that interesting? As we read this text in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, if you go back and you read the earlier verses, you will find out that what Joseph is doing is, after his brothers have come out of Canaan, they're starving near to death, and because of his prominent place in Egyptian society, he is able to save their lives. They live on for a little while, and then the father, Jacob, dies, right? So the family gathers together his body, and they return it back to Canaan. They go back to the place where it all began. They go back there. And the Bible doesn't tell us, but I can just imagine in my mind that as they're going back there for the first time in many, many years, Joseph is seeing those places where the Egyptians drug him away from his home. And probably his mind is going back and reminiscing about the times, right? When the times when he was taken captive, and he thought, how on earth am I going to get out of this situation? You may be in one of those situations Where the situations, the circumstances are so grim, you think, I'm never, ever going to get out of this situation. And his mind goes back. It is probable, it's perhaps likely, that he goes back to the very, very place that his brothers dropped him down into the ground, right? To the pit. And he saw it again for the first time in many years, and he remembers, he reminisces back to all this stuff. He goes back to the place. I say all that to say that sometimes God uses the very thing that hurts you the most to allow you to minister to more people the most, right? God uses the place where you are abused. God uses the places where you are hurt. God uses those places that now you have a heart for people that you wouldn't have had before. God uses your brokenness, and then he mends you that you may take his truth to others and they too may be mended. One thing that you and I have in common in this place, in this room today, is that all of us have been broken at some point in our lives. We've been cracked at some place, correct? And yet God chooses to still use us because it's in our brokenness that he can use us the most. If you've not been broken, you're going to be broken at some point. And perhaps if you've been broken, you're going to go through it again. God can use it. God used it in the life of Joseph. God used it in the life of St. Patrick. God can use it in your life as well. So don't be afraid to go back to that place where you were hurt the most. Because it's in that place that you can learn the most about who God is. It's in that place that you can see the touch of the Master's hand in your life and the healing that he has done in you. God is awesome and he is good. And it's in those dark moments that, like St. Patrick, we begin to pray a little bit more. We begin to lean a little bit more over on the Lord. It's in those moments that we begin to pray more. Our faith is strengthened. Our understanding of God grows deeper. And he begins to shine through in our lives. And yes, it's in those moments that we realize who we really are. So not only did he go back to the place, but St. Patrick was humbled. And this reminds me again of Joseph, because Joseph was humbled too. Remember the account of Joseph? What happens when he's a young man? What happens when he's a young boy? God gives him a vision. God gives him a dream that he is going to rule over all of his family members, right? Did he keep it quiet? Did he keep it to himself? Did he write it in his journal and put the lock on it, put a rubber band around it, stick it under his bed? Oh, no. He was proud of the fact, wasn't he? And he went around with his coat of many colors and he strutted his stuff. So much so that the brothers decide, we got to do something about this. When we go around prideful, somebody's going to do something about it. The Bible tells us that pride cometh before what?
The fall,
correct? So at some point, if God doesn't humble it, he's going to use somebody and he's going to humble us in our very moment of pride. It seems as though that there's a little bit of pride in St. Patrick as a 16-year-old. He is far from God, but he is living in a community that says they are Christian, yet the community he admits are living far from God. They're not doing what they hear the priest speaking of. They're not doing what they hear is in the Word of God. He knows all the stories about Noah. He knows all the stories about Moses. He knows all the stories, the biblical accounts. And yet he is not living a life. He is not yet a believer. But God humbles him. And now he really sees himself in the light of God's eyes rather than the light of his own eyes. We are living in a time when America is looking at themselves in the light of their own eyes rather than the light of God's eyes. And brothers and sisters, I am not a prophet, but I know the Word of God. I'm learning it more and more, and I know that there's coming a time when God is going to humble our nation. If he's not already done it, he's going to do it in a great, mighty way. Get ready. Buckle your seatbelts, right? Because it's coming. Pride cometh before the fall, and we are very prideful people, and the fall is coming. It's going to come upon us. But this man is humbled, and he writes in his confessions, I am Patrick, a sinner the most unsophisticated and unworthy among all the faithful of God. Indeed, to many, I am the most despised. So in this instance, he is humbled and he recognizes who he truly is before God. And yet, in all that, he knows what his place is. His place is to go back to the very people that persecuted him and preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So even though he's been humbled, he speaks the truth. He spoke out against moral issues. He spoke out against things that were wrong, where people were wrong. He was a man of integrity. He spoke out against paganism. He spoke out against idolatry. He spoke out against slavery. So when he goes back to Ireland, this place of Ireland is very religious, but they are pagan. And they're worshiping a foreign god. They're worshiping gods that they're not true to the God of the Bible. And they're relying on these gods to save them, but these gods fail them time and time again. So he's amongst the Druids and amongst these people, and yet he does not waver from the truth of the gospel. He preaches and teaches the truth of God's holy word. He wrote in his work, he says that he must choose to proclaim the gift of God and his everlasting help confidently and without fear, to make known the name everywhere, so that even after I die, it might be a kind of spiritual legacy left behind for my brothers and sons. So many thousands I baptized for God. So on the one hand, he's humbled. On the other hand, he's very confident, right? And he is not afraid of the evils that are all around him, but he wants to proclaim Jesus. It is said of St. Patrick that nobody knows where he's buried because he says, I don't want a shrine. Remember, he's living in a time when people are going around and they're finding all the shrines. We still like to do this, right? We like to find the places where people were born. We like to find the places where they died. And there we build some kind of a shrine unto them so that we can go and remember them. In the Middle East, people are fighting to this day over such places. But he says, I don't want one of these places left behind for me. What I want left behind is that souls are converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he preached and he taught that thousands were actually converted. He would go to village to village. He would go from king to king. In that time, Ireland didn't have a king over the whole nation, but rather region. There were regional kings, and he would go to the kings. And when they rejected him, he would just dust off his feet, like the Bible says, and he would go on to the next place, and he would teach and preach about Jesus until souls were saved and people were converted. Well, what takes place after all that? There is a king in the area who is also a great warrior, whose name is Caratacus. And Caratacus begins to enslave those who were converted to Christianity. So now he is speaking out against slavery. Who knew something about slavery? St. Patrick, right? Who knew something about slavery in the Bible? Joseph, correct? So this injustice is very raw. It is very real to these men. So he begins to speak out against the injustice of slavery, and he doesn't back down. He says, God, what can I do? He says, my flock has been torn to pieces and scattered by these wicked men under the orders of the evil-minded Caratacus. And he says to Caratacus, he says, laugh and make fun of me if you want to. I will not keep quiet, nor will I hide the signs and wonders, wonderful things that God has revealed to me many years before they actually happened. For God knew everything that would occur even before the beginning of time. So this man stands up for the truth of the gospel. He stands up for the truth of the Bible, and he teaches it and he preaches it everywhere. God has allowed you to go through things in your life that God could have stopped. Amen. But God chose not to. Why? Because it's the very thing that was intended to bring us down that God can use the most to build up the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And God has chosen these things for you as well. Max Lucado says, one of the most frightening aspects of being a Christian is knowing that when you put your trust in Jesus, all hell takes arms against you. You don't really hear that a lot on TV or the radio, correct? It takes all aim against you, all arms against you, intending evil upon your life. And yet what trumps that fear and evil is knowing that no matter what comes, God is the master weaver. He takes what was intended for evil and reweaves it into something good. Back to our text here in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. Joseph says, as for you, you meant evil against me. Why is he saying this to his brothers? Because after the burial of their father, the brothers come to Joseph and they say, Joseph, dad's intentions were that you love us and you forgive us and we move on like nothing ever happened. Now, when I read this, every time I'm thinking, did Jacob really say that? Did he really say that? You know, after my grandfather passed away, I still tell my mother, I say, Mom, Papa intended for me to have a brand new Dodge truck. She still to this day does not believe me, right? Smart woman, exactly. Well, they come to him with this, Dad said, right, kind of stuff. And this is the point where Joseph could have really wreaked some revenge. He had the power to do it. He had the authority to do it. He could have wiped this people out. Amen. But he doesn't wreak the revenge, and he doesn't even take note, really, of what they say. He just goes straight to love and straight to grace. And he says in this verse, the true translation is, you were weaving together something that would tear me down, that would annihilate me. But God, the verb is really in Hebrew, God reweaved it to make it something beautiful and to make it something good, right? I love what Catherine is doing, leading a lot of you guys to build weavers, looms, whatever you call those things, and to bring these sacks together and weave them. And isn't it amazing that what we throw away, we think is trash, is being woven together to bring somebody in another country some comfort and care, right? So the very thing that you think is the most worthless in your life, allow God to reweave it into something that can help some other people. And many times we want to hide our hurts. We want to hide our pain. We want to hide the thing that we are the most ashamed of. But it is that thing, possibly, that God can allow to bring people to the truth of the gospel. Joseph says, God reweaved it that I saved a bunch of people. God saved a bunch of people. Praise be to the Lord, right? St. Patrick is basically saying, these Irish that intended to make me a slave and ruin my life, now I can't live without the Irish. He loved them. He fell in love with these people. And he says that God reweaved his life to bring God glory, honor, and praise, and the kingdom was glorified and the kingdom grew. Was Ireland perfect thereafter? No, it was not. But God did a work. He brought the gospel to these people. And again, it's in your life and my life. What are we going to do with that which we thought was the worst thing that ever happened to him? Some of you have been through divorces. God can use it to bring him glory. Some of you have lost children. God can use it to bring him glory. Some of you have had wayward children. Some of you have been the wayward child, but now you're back. God can use it to bring him glory. God can use what hurt you to minister to other people that are hurting. Find out what it is. Don't be afraid to go back. Allow your faith to be strengthened. Don't be afraid to go back to that place. And exercise confidently the gospel message that others true may know the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. What are you doing? that others know about Jesus? What are you doing that other people might be saved? Father God, we pray.